Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, today we're going to talk about messages that we send young athletes.
Yes.
And this is from an article in Psychology Today entitled Seven Key Messages to Send to Your Young Athletes.
And this is one of those things that I wished we got a second chance with all of our children.
Yes.
Because I'd like you to go back and do it right.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because I made all the mistakes that he talks about here.
Yeah.
You
know, yeah.
So most of us do.
I think so. I think so.
I talked to a friend of mine. He said he learned after having a couple of children that you only coach them for a few years and then you turn it over to somebody else.
Right.
Because as they get older, it gets more difficult.
Yeah.
You know, because your expectations rise.
Right. And, you know, right. So. Yeah, you have to be really careful
really
how
careful.
You balance those mm-hmm. things. But mm-hmm. And the reason that we're talking about it is because the likelihood is that many of you listening, your involvement with sports psychology and this mm-hmm. is probably more related to your children than it is related to you.
Exactly.
As right. we become adults, we might do some recreational sports mm-hmm. and things like that. But most of our sports are focused. Most of our sports involvement is going to involve our kids
with our children,
right?
Right.
So
and where we can do the most damage,
that's
you know,
right.
of course, you know,
that's right.
We ruin our children on the athletic fields.
That's right.
You know.
That's right.
No, we see this every parent who has children involved in youth sports mm-hmm. has seen what we're talking about here,
right.
how not to do it.
Right.
I mean, it's so ubiquitous.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So the article starts out talking about the amount of pressure and the
right.
way that we communicate
right.
athletic performance to kids.
Right. What not to do.
Right.
He says these are the three things you shouldn't do.
Right.
Because if you do, these are the bad things that are going to happen.
Right.
So
yeah, if you put too much pressure, if you're focusing primarily on your expectations and results,
right, you know.
You're going to have these three.
Yeah, he said the three mistakes we make is we focus on results.
Right.
We want our kids to win.
Right.
I mean, even though they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
In most cases, and we have high expectations.
Yep.
We expect them to perform at a very high level consistently, even though professional athletes don't always do that, and we bring pressure to bear.
Right.
On that. Okay.
Right.
So there's three things: results, expectations, and pressure.
Right.
Guilty as charged. You don't intend, even if you don't intend to,
right.
you do it. Okay. And then if you do these three things, he said there's three bad outcomes.
Right. Yeah. Kids will crumble.
They'll crumble under the pressure.
They'll crumble under the pressure. They will they will see their athletic lives as sources of stress as opposed to enjoyment
Instead of ways to
deal with stress.
Right. It's one more, you know, and I always tell parents, look, they have stress in school and they have stress mm-hmm. here. And they're saying, this could be a break in their life. This
right.
could be fun. This could be enjoyable.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing is that kids will very quickly learn to connect these negative feelings with you as the parent.
Yeah, I was going to say. And the third thing is they're going to hate you.
Right.
Because
step with it right out there.
They are going to associate mm-hmm. you with an unpleasant experience.
Right.
And kids don't separate those two things.
Right.
You know, they don't have, when they're in school, they say, I have a bad teacher.
Right.
You know, no, you have a teacher who isn't particularly good at what she's doing.
Right.
Or
is it doing it the way
unfair,
that you need it to do?
Or she's not doing it the way you want it to be done or need it to be done. And so, but you condemn the whole experience. I hate
right.
school.
Right.
You don't really hate. It's not
right.
the whole experience that you hate. But this can happen with youth
right.
sports.
Yeah. So what this author, Dr. Jim Taylor, talks about are mm-hmm. there are seven messages that we should send instead.
That's right. Seven things we should do. So there are
right.
three things we shouldn't do.
Yes.
Seven things we should do.
And the first is to give your best effort. That's it. Just give
your
best
that's
effort.
That's what you're asking your kids to do.
That's right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're not setting specific expectations. We're not applying pressure. We're just saying, give your best effort.
Do your best.
Just
mm-hmm.
if you go out on the field, if you're going to engage in this activity,
mm-hmm.
just do your best.
Right.
Just try your best.
And that's as your parent, that's good enough for me.
Absolutely. Right. Number two is to be a good sport.
Oh, please. So please be a good sport.
Be a good, respectful winner. Be a good, respectful loser. Right. Just be a good sport.
Right. Learn how to win graciously and learn how to lose graciously. Right. That's one of the benefits of competitive sports.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, number three is something that every parent says, but not every parent means.
They don't mean it.
Right. And that is to have fun.
Right.
I think that that's one of the most common things as a coach that I hear parents saying. Let's just go out there and have fun.
Right.
Meanwhile, in the middle of the game, their parents are screaming
about performance.
About performance. They're using obscenities. They're doing all kinds of things.
Screaming, and it's like,
wait a minute, I thought that we were just having fun. But it doesn't sound like that's what you're really wanting.
I played Little League before there was Little League because it was so long ago, right?
I wasn't going to say it.
Right. And I don't ever remember any pressure during Little League.
Mm-hmm.
When I look back at my Little League, it was just fun. We just went out and had fun.
Yeah.
I don't know whether the coaches did that or whether that was intentional, but I don't remember any pressure during Little League. As you got higher up, and you got into high school and beyond, there was pressure. I don't remember any in Little League.
Right.
It was just a fun experience. Every memory I have. Is a positive experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it should be.
Right.
Number four is something that I think that I work on, especially with athletes that are in team sports, certainly. We have to work on it quite a bit, and that is to support your teammates.
Support your teammates, right.
You know, one of the activities I have them do is I'll have the team together and I'll say, okay, you know, raise your hand if you want to win. And of course, everybody raises their hand. And so raise your hand if you want to make a mistake. And of course, nobody raises their hand. Raise your hand if you have made a mistake, and then everybody raises their hand. And we go through this process and then work to the point to help them understand that no one wants to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. Everyone has the same goal. Everyone has the same mission when we go out on the pitch. Mm-hmm. Or on the field, so why do we come down on each other? Why do we criticize and chastise each other when somebody makes a mistake? When A, we've all made mistakes.
Right.
B, nobody here is sabotaging the team. Nobody here is sort of a mole for the other team here to say, you know, I put $10,000 on this match for us to lose, you know. So I really want to sabotage us and make sure that we don't do well. Everyone has the same mission. Everyone has the same goal. Some days we perform better than other days, and that happens to professionals as well. So let's support each other instead of bring each other down.
Right, support your teammates.
And how, if somebody makes a mistake and you start yelling and screaming at them, how easy is it going to be for them to recover and get back to performing at a higher level?
That's right, because a couple of days ago we said when you start to fall apart that way, you have to regain the process.
Right.
Well, if somebody's screaming at you for how poorly you're doing, it's hard then to regain the process.
Right, absolutely. Number five is to teach our kids to listen to their coaches.
Listen to your coach, yes.
That's right. It is so, as a parent and as a coach, that part is so important because players come in, I coach at the soccer level that's competitive. So we play all over the state. And sometimes, I'm being careful. Sometimes kids come in, players come in with the idea or the expectation that they are going to, you know, be a superstar. Mm-hmm. That they're going to be, you know, sort of the next Lionel Messi or Cristiano Ronaldo or something. And well, I won't go into what I think about that, except to say that because they have these expectations of themselves, they come in with a way to play and they do not want to listen to it. And their parents will tell them, no, you do it your way.
Right.
Don't do what the coach says. Okay. And so, you know, our team, for example, is a passing team. So we don't necessarily have great speed. We don't necessarily have great power, but we can develop good technical skills
right.
so that we can pass the ball and we can move the ball because mm-hmm. the ball can move faster than any player. Right. All right. So if we're working that way. That said, we will have players who insist on holding the ball and trying to beat three or four players at a time and lose the ball every time.
Right.
And mm-hmm. but they have that mentality of, I am going to do it my way.
Right.
And oftentimes the parents support that. Parents, teach them to listen to the coach.
Right.
If they want play time, if they want to be a part of the team, then they have to play the way that the team plays. Right. And that is so critical. If they want to play in college, if they want mm-hmm. to play at any other level, mm-hmm. they're going to encounter different systems and right. they have to be able to shift and adjust.
That's right.
And that's in any sport.
Coaches have these systems worked out.
Right.
They know how they want it to work and they know each player's role in the system.
Right.
For the system to work, you have to play your role.
Right.
Okay? And not play your game, but play your role.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And we work to teach our kids that, but that too is so important mm-hmm. for you in your workplace, right?
Right? That's right.
You're going to say, think, no, this is the better way to do it. Mm-hmm. And your employer may say, no, I hear what you're saying, but I want you to do it this way. And you have to decide what you're going to do.
There's a coach in town, I've met with her many times. And every year, almost every year, I don't know whether it's happening this year, but almost every year, she will have these exercises and activities mm-hmm. and these same every year. And occasionally, she will have a player who will complain and complain loudly mm-hmm. and make when I say make a legal case out of it, they file charges with the county
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
they go down and make a formal complaint with the county that leads to an investigation of
right.
the coach because they have to run laps or they have to run a mile or
right.
they have to do something. If you don't, these are voluntary.
Right.
If you don't want to do what this coach says, then
right.
get on a different team
right.
or get off this team.
Right.
But don't make trouble for the system. Don't make trouble for
right.
the whole team.
Right.
Okay. You might not like the coach. If you can't do what the coach wants, then go on another team.
Right.
Or get off this team. It's
right.
voluntary.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. It's. Exactly.
And those are the message you should give your children.
Right.
You know, if this is so arduous, so difficult. If you feel that strongly about it, then let's change and move on to another activity.
Right.
But don't create trouble
yeah.
In the team, because that goes back to support your teammates.
Right.
You know, you're either part of a team or you're not.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Number six is that if you win, that should just be icing on the cake.
Right. That's right.
Again, the idea from what we talked about the other day, sometimes the goal needs to be the process.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, we played a good sound game. We didn't win, but we did all of the things that we've been working on in practice. We made
right.
good passes. We, you know, your serve went well.
Right.
You are doing better. You did
right.
better this round than you did last round, whatever the case may be.
Right.
Focus on the process. And if you win, fantastic.
That's right. If you win, that's good. You don't gloat.
Right.
If you win, that's good. If you lose, well, you lost the match, but you've learned this
mm-hmm.
and you've learned this and you've learned so much from losing. You know, we always talk about that here.
Right.
Failures are also instructive.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And finally, number seven is that regardless of what happens, regardless of what's going on, we love you.
We love you.
Yeah.
Yes. It is unconditional.
Right.
Even if you lose the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm going to add an eighth because this is something that I learned a long time ago. And I think that it really has helped in my relationship with my son. Because I feel like, you know, I always felt like I shared with him how much I cared about him and that winning wasn't everything.
Right.
And I think that became sort of, okay, whatever. But one of the things I shifted because of an article that I read a number of years ago was sometimes kids just want to hear how much you enjoy watching them.
Right.
And so I tell my son oftentimes, you know, it is just so much fun to watch you play.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because to see you grow, to see you do all of these other things
right.
that we've been talking about, it is just so much fun to watch you play. I could sit and watch you play
right.
every day. And that goes so far with our kids to build that confidence, to build that that self-esteem
right.
and in a healthy way that we want them to develop it. We don't
mm-hmm.
want them to gloat, and we don't want them to be conceited or self-absorbed. Right. We want them to have a confidence that says, you know what, I know this is going to be tough, but I'm going to give it a shot anyways.
Right. It's excruciating watching tennis.
Yeah.
It's so hard to watch tennis because so many mistakes are made.
Yeah.
You know, in soccer, you know, there might be 10 or 12 or 15, even 20 shots on goal. In tennis, there's hundreds of ways that kids can make mistakes. And my children are all, they're convinced that we're there being critical. And we're really not, but they feel criticism. And so that's very, number eight is very good advice.
Yeah.
You know, just keep telling your kids, I just like watching you play.
Right.
I'm impressed. I'm impressed with your skill level. I'm impressed with your agility. I'm impressed with your stamina.
Yeah.
I just love watching you.
Yeah.
I'm not here being critical.
Right.
But she's convinced that
we are. They are. Right. So,
but keep giving them that message. Seven and eight, I think, are important.
Yeah.
Very critical.
Yes. So all right.
Good article, though.
The link is in the show notes, so check it out and start to implement these things for you and your kids.
Right. If I was a Little League coach again, this would go to every parent.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, all right. That is it for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning.